Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
For those that don't know, we've been talking about the story of Joseph and how there's something that precedes blessing. Oftentimes, we want God to release the blessing over our families or over our finances or in other ways in our lives, but we have to realize there is an important thing that comes before that, and that is the act of forgiveness. So it's been a few great weeks on the topic. If you've missed it, you can go back and listen on the podcast. But what has been some of your key takeaways while we've been talking about the power of forgiveness?
I'll start with just that it's a great reminder, because I think we can get kind of used to doing things and forget that that's an important aspect of our heart being healthy. One of the points that I remembered that stood out to me was true forgiveness only flows from God. And I think that's profound, because our love has limits, but when our love is in Him, when we put everything in Him, He's the one who gives us the capacity to love unconditionally. You know, our love has these limits where there's a threshold at which we run out. Yeah. But when we have the love of God in our hearts, it really helps us to go beyond our natural selves and have that forgiveness within us. Also, when you broke down the whole thing about Manasseh and Ephraim, where it says that God has caused me to forget all my trouble was Manasseh, and Ephraim means God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. What that spoke to me was that we can go through difficult things and we can have all the feelings that have us running in one direction. But when we are, again, anchored in Christ, He helps us to, even in the midst of our suffering, be able to be blessed and to have joy and to remember His promises.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of times it's something that we know we need to do, forgive, I think on some levels, but it's hard. It's hard to forgive. And so why do you think it's so difficult for us as people to forgive one another? We live in this culture that it's increasingly the grudge-holding culture. People love to hold things against people. But why do you think it's so hard for us to forgive?
I think, one, you said culture. I think that's a huge part of it. Culture and society, and sometimes we espouse those things above what the scripture says. And also, we are flesh and blood, so our instinctive nature is to go with our feelings, go with what feels good. If we're upset at the moment, we feel like, well, I have the right to be upset. I have the right to hold a grudge against somebody or to not forgive because what they did was unforgivable or what they did was so bad. But, you know, something I was reminded of is John Bevere talks about offense. Like, we want to hold on to our offenses, and offense, he says, is the bait of Satan, which is really true. It's a bait into us getting into a place where we put our feelings above what Scripture says, which is, if there's something up, like, go talk to somebody. Go talk to them, settle it, squash it. The condition of your heart is more important than what you feel is okay or good to do. So we can't be led by our feelings.
I think that's huge. I mean, you touched on something so important. Sometimes we put our emotions before obedience to God.
Right.
And that's a huge thing. We don't realize that we're doing it. When I'm saying I'm not going to forgive, we're saying my emotions are more important than my obedience
right.
to God. And that's a heavy thing, right? We can actually make our emotions an idol.
Yes.
We can fall into this position of idolatry, because it's like it's more important my emotions, it's more important that I hold this grudge, it's more important that I stick it to this person than for me to be obedient to what I see in Scripture. But really, forgiveness is a non-negotiable for Christians. Will you turn to somebody and say it's a non-negotiable? Forgiveness is a non-negotiable. There's not only a blessing that's attached to when we forgive, but it's also a requirement for us. Jesus says in Matthew 6:14-15, it says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. That sounds good, right? If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. We're doing good so far. But then 15, he flips it around the other way. He says, but if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow. That was not an idea I came up with last night to say to you. Those are the words of Jesus. He says, if you don't forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. And that's a huge thing to think about, right? This is the difference of heaven or hell. If I forgive or I don't forgive. If I choose to hold on to a grudge or I choose to release and surrender and say, I forgive you. You know, our eternal destination is caught up in this. Our eternal destination depends on our ability to forgive.
Yeah. And I think God is love, right? The scripture says God is love. And it's our whole faith, everything is built on this, that he is love. He loved us so much that he gave his only son for us. It's all about his love. So if we cannot forgive, then we don't get it. And I think that's what is so important about the scripture, saying, like, if we can't forgive others, then we don't get the concept of the kingdom, which is love and his grace for us, that he went through such a drastic measure of laying down his own son so that we could have life, right? So I think that's important for us to catch. When we don't forgive, it shows a lack of heavenly love. And we have to remember, I need to be complete in his love so that I can forgive others as well.
You know, forgiveness keeps you healthy.
Yes.
It's something I've found. It keeps you healthy. Healthy heart, healthy mind, mm-hmm. healthy heart, healthy body. And the thing about unforgiveness is you begin to internalize it, right? It becomes toxic.
Yes.
Toxic, it affects the way you talk. It affects the way you live. It affects the way that you treat others that are not even involved in the unforgiveness situation. Why? Because you've internalized it. Unforgiveness is something that you internalize. It becomes toxic.
It also is like an open door for other things. And people don't realize it, because if you know somebody that has had that type of feeling in their heart and they don't let something go, it begins to color their whole world. It opens the door for bitterness, anger, and other things, you know, that it can become worse. You've seen people commit terrible crimes,
yeah,
because something happened, they couldn't let it go, and they just wanted vengeance.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, that's the extreme version, but yeah, we sometimes think it's okay. Well, I'm not going to go commit a crime, and then we just harbor this thing, and it really is, like, cancerous. Like, it spreads. It begins to make you doubtful of people, and that's why I say, like, I don't want those glasses. I don't want to color my whole world in something negative. So we have to take that stuff off and lay every burden before the Lord. Say, God, you know what? I give you my heart. I don't need to hold on to this. That's the true definition of us surrendering every thought, surrendering our hearts to him, is just leaning into him and saying, God, I need you to restore me. It's hard right now, but I want you to restore me.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times people don't understand that when we step into that area, we say, okay, I'm not going to forgive. I'm going to take revenge. Proverbs teaches us about revenge. It's a never-ending cycle. You think that just getting even is going to fill that void of you that you have that unforgiveness in, but it doesn't. You do that, and you have to do more. Or you do that, and somebody pays you back, then you have to pay them back. It's an unending cycle. That's what Proverbs tells us about vengeance, about revenge. So how far do you think this concept is supposed to go with us forgiving people? Is there a stopping point?
Well, we know what scripture says about it, which Jesus told the disciples.
Yeah.
You know, you got to keep on forgiving. I'm paraphrasing.
He told Peter in Matthew 18,
yes,
21, when
go.
Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone that sins against me? And he says, seven times. Is that enough? Is seven times enough? You would think somebody that did you wrong seven times, or betrayed your trust seven times, or stole from you seven times, you say, man, that's enough. That's sufficient. I'm cutting this person off.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus says, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. So the concept is an unlimited grace.
Right.
Unlimited grace has been shown to us. So our challenge, watch this, the challenge for us as Christians, and the command, is unlimited grace towards others.
Yeah.
Jesus is telling Peter, and Jesus is showing us, unlimited grace was shown to us, so the challenge and the command is unlimited grace towards others. Yeah. And of course, we could get into it. There's a difference between forgiveness and trust. It doesn't mean that you have to trust people that have done wrong things to you before, but you do have to forgive them. Mercy, grace, forgiveness should be unlimited. Mm-hmm. Trust is something that should be defined by the Holy Spirit, right? We're commanded in Scripture to know those that we labor among. We're commanded in Scripture to discern the spirit of man. And so position yourself in a way that you can give grace. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're not positioned in a way we can give grace because we're just trusting. We're just trusting everybody. The Bible doesn't say to trust everybody. The Bible says be wise as a serpent, as harmless as a dove. So while I'm guarding my heart, I'm able to love and forgive. And that's what Proverbs 4:23 says, right? Above all else, guard your heart.
Yes.
Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So we're able to love and we're able to forgive when we have those parameters in place.
Right, and I think that's why it's important for us to ask for wisdom. The Bible says if you don't have it, ask for it. Ask for wisdom and discernment, because us left to our own devices, you know, some of us are better than others in terms of being able to be a good judge of character. It's important that we lean on the Holy Spirit for that. God, give me wisdom. Give me discernment to discern when somebody does not have my best interest at heart. You know, sometimes we just swing the door wide open. We want new relationships. We want, you know, to have acceptance or whatever the reason might be. And you begin to get into these toxic relationships and have these repeated things happen, or our expectations are out of place. So God, give me the wisdom to have my expectations in the right place so that I can guard my heart. Because what happens when you open it wide open and you start getting hurt over and over again, then all of a sudden it's like, I'm done. You put the walls up and now you are at a place where you really need healing. So discernment is key in it. And if you don't have it, ask for it.
Yeah.
Love is freely given. Trust is earned. So whenever we step into a new environment as Christians, what do? We love unconditionally as Christ loved us. But by the Spirit, we discern what level of trust is appropriate. I grew up watching my dad, and he was the type of person that would never hold a grudge. And he had a life. There's some similarities there with Joseph, where there's some people that tried to hurt him. There are some people that did hurt him. But I watched him as he always forgave, and it kept him healthy in so many ways. I saw that example, and I said, hey, I want to apply that to my life. And so this leads me to this concept that as people, whether you're a parent or whether you're somebody that people are looking up to, you know, you're always passing down something,
yes.
Right? Yeah. How are your kids processing your hurts and your forgiveness? You know, that's an important thing, and we talk about it some in our home.
Oh, that makes me laugh. Because it's true. Like, I remember watching both of my parents. They both are different people, so I would see them process things differently. My dad was always the cool as a cucumber guy. I would see him get kind of upset, but his type of upset is, like, really docile. And my mom is a little more fiery. I think I'm more like her. But it's funny because now, hey, wait a second. You cannot nod that hard. That is so wrong. Anyway, I have these wonderful moments in which I get to remind myself that our children are always watching. You know, they watch when you're ready. They watch when you're not ready. The thing Dad always says, like, people learn the most about you in your unguarded moments, because that's like the natural reaction. And, you know, when we have this privilege of teaching the generation under us, it's so important. It's not just for us. It is to represent the kingdom of God. It is to represent Christ to this next generation, to say, I truly am being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't always get it perfect, but it should always be our goal. Is God, change me, make me more like you, make me more forgiving like you, help me to have more grace like you. And I think that in the same way, we're representatives of Christ. So we're representing him when we are at our best and also when we're not. So how are people at our job seeing us process when somebody does something to us, a coworker, that we're like, man, they didn't do their job. What's going on? You know, like, are they seeing a lack of patience? Are they seeing unforgiveness? Are they seeing the love of Christ shine through? So it's important to remember, we always have to live our lives remembering we're not a representative just for ourselves, but of Christ.
Amen. You're always passing something down. It could be pain. It could be grief. It could be bitterness. It could be healing. It could be determination.
Yes.
What is it that you want to pass down to others? What is it that you want to pass down to your kids? You teach more in your unguarded moments. You're absolutely right. Yeah. So how do you think that forgiveness helps us to see the world around us in a different way?
Well, for me, I always think of the fact, I think of my relationship with God and how I'm always so blown away with how much he forgives me on a personal level. And some of the stuff, it's like whether you've been trying to do better in different areas, and I'm like, God, thank you so much that you forgive me even when I've repeated this same thing. I should have learned this lesson, and I'm still making the same mistakes. Thank you for your grace. So when I look at that and I see how grace-giving he is with me, I think to myself, that's not something to be selfish about. If he has like directed us to be the hands and feet of Jesus, then I should also be extending that same grace for others. And I talk to our kids about that a lot, you know, being gracious with one another, and how can we have more grace for somebody outside of our home and not even exemplify that at home. So I make sure that they're doing it with their siblings first. But it's that aspect of like, man, if God's been so forgiving with me, why can't I be forgiving with others? And it brings me back to the scripture of like, if we can't forgive, then we can't make it, you know, all the way. And so I think just it's a mindset of, if he did it for me, I should be able to do it as well.
There's purpose in forgiveness. When we forgive, we discover purpose. Sometimes it's not until we forgive that we can see the fullness of what God is wanting to show us. It's not until we forgive that we can understand the struggles, the path, the journey.
Right.
And we can miss the bigger picture when we don't forgive. I like this part in Joseph's story when he comes face to face with his brothers, right? And he has chosen to forgive them. And we can see it in Genesis 45, 4 and 5. It says, "And Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come close to me.' And when they had done so, he said, 'I am your brother, Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourself for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you.'" So forgiveness had completely changed Joseph's perspective on the whole incident. He had been betrayed, he had been thrown in jail, he had been a slave, but the way he processed this was very enlightened, but it was because he forgave. So he's looking at it from a whole different perspective. How many want to see through God's eyes what's going on in your life? You can't get there unless you forgive. And of course, we're not seeing the whole picture like God is, but we're able to see glimpses of God's plan for us and for others through the lens of forgiveness. So again, his perspective is completely different, but it's because of forgiveness. And so that gives us a different lens. And then another thing that happens here, when we forgive, there is a connection between forgiveness and generosity. And I want us to look at this. Forgiveness releases generosity. When we forgive, it's a generous action. When we're generous, we forgive. It's a position of generosity. It unlocks generosity. Forgiveness is generous because it is often undeserved. So you're going beyond what the person deserves. It's generous. It's a generous action. Forgiveness is more than what is deserved, so it's generous. We can see when Pharaoh sees the generous forgiveness of Joseph towards his brothers, he becomes generous. It unlocks generosity in Pharaoh when he sees the forgiveness of Joseph.
Yes.
This is it, Genesis 45, 17 and 18. It says, "And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Tell your brothers, this is what you must do. Load your pack animals and hurry back to the land of Canaan. Get all your father and all your families and return here to me. I will give you the very best land in Egypt, and you will eat from the best that the land produces.'" So what happens within Pharaoh is its generosity is unlocked in him because he sees the power of forgiveness. Watch this. When you forgive others, you're going to see generosity unlocked in your life. It might be from the person that you're forgiving. It might be from other people that see the forgiveness on your life. And they say, man, that inspires generosity in me. So Joseph forgives, and it unlocks generosity in Pharaoh, and he gives them the best land and the best food in Egypt.
Amen. The thing I was going to say is when we forgive, that we're able to see free, we're able to experience freedom, because really unforgiveness is like having shackles on your hands. You can't enjoy things. There's a joy that is stolen or surrendered when there's unforgiveness in our hearts, because we're holding on to something that is not meant for us. And when we're able to do that, it like opened the door. That, to me, that's such a beautiful story of redemption, seeing Joseph, like where he had the opportunity, and as some would say, or culture would say, he had the right to like do them wrong and cross them because they had done him wrong. But what would that have benefited? And to see the beauty of the blessing that he was able to experience as a result, and even his own brothers, the way that they were moved by his grace and forgiveness. And so it really is a testament to how God moves with us.
It is. And many times we're looking for more out of this life. We're saying there's got to be something more. Might be something that I'm missing here. When we feel or ask ourselves, am I missing something? There is so much richness that comes from forgiveness. Mm-hmm. For many people that are searching for something more in your life, this is exactly what you're looking for. If you can be brave enough to do the hard things like forgiveness, there is blessings that will follow. God can bring restoration. God can bring healing. God can bring abundance through the window of forgiveness. So I'm excited about what that means to each and every one of us. How can I be somebody that walks in the forgiveness of God? I want to model my life. I want to model the way that I interact with people by what I see reflected in the Father. And we see the power of his forgiveness. Let's pray together. God, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's here today, each and every person that's listening. God, that you would touch hearts, every heart. God, let us be stirred to understand the importance of forgiveness. If we don't forgive, we cannot accept the forgiveness that comes from you. So it is vitally important for us as Christians to learn it's not something that we should hold a grudge. It's not something that we should try to pay back. Vengeance belongs to God. Forgiveness belongs to us. God, teach us to love our neighbor. Teach us to love those who have done the wrong thing towards us. Teach us forgiveness. God, I thank you for the power of forgiveness to give us different perspective, a better perspective, a more perfected perspective on life and on the world around us. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. I feel like I've slipped away. I've drifted, and I want to reconnect with him. If that's you today, or if you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I've ever really surrendered to him, and I want to surrender today. I want to give my life to Jesus and do it his way. If either of those are you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are today. Amen. 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 That's so powerful. Whenever we make the decision to take a step in the direction of Jesus, it's so powerful. That's the most important decision. If you slipped up your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody that agrees with this prayer, you can say this prayer to. Jesus, thank you for your love.
Thank you for your love.
Thank you for your forgiveness.
Thank you for your forgiveness.
Thank you for going to the cross,
thank you for going to the cross,
to provide
forgiveness for me.
I accept your free gift,
Of forgiveness,
of salvation,
of reconnection
with my Heavenly Father. I'm sorry for the times I drifted, I sinned, and I did it my way. I want to do it your way. Give me a fresh start today. I want to follow you. I want to follow your example. Teach me how to do that. Give me the strength to do that from this day forward. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today. I want to tell you that great faith journeys, big faith journeys, start with small steps in the right direction. So if you made a prayer today, if you prayed that prayer with us today, it may feel like a small step, but it is the step in the right direction to a much bigger purpose that God has for you. And I want to encourage you, get connected, whether you said that prayer or whether you're not. We're about to start back small groups, our hope groups, and I want to encourage you, get in community. There is no place to grow like when you are in community. We've got great groups. We got men groups. We got women's groups. We got young adults groups. We got all kind of groups, but get plugged in. There's no place to grow like when you're doing life with other people that are a little bit crazy about Jesus too. Amen. I'll leave you with this thought. If God is for you, who can be against you? And if Jesus is in your corner, you will be undefeated.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.